We've been reading in 2 Chronicles, and we've come to one of the worst kings of Judah, King Ahaz. And when we get to chapter 28, we find that things don't get any better. If anything, they get worse. And one of the worst things about wicked leaders is that they bring down the rest of the people with them. And so we read, the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. So King Ahaz himself was immoral, and he encouraged his subjects to become immoral with him. Now the Lord loved this evil king from the house of David, and so he did what a person does in love. He disciplined him, or tried to discipline him, to bring him to repentance. And so there was one problem after another. Last month, we read about how Israel defeated them, took captives. And to that we can add the Edomites, the Philistines, the Syrians. And instead of turning to the Lord in his distress, King Ahaz went to the mightiest ruler in the world at that time, King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, and asked for his help. But the Bible says that that did not work out either. Ahaz took part of the treasures from the house of the Lord, from the house of the king, and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. He distressed him and did not assist him. So, where did Ahaz go next to solve his problems? Not to the Lord, but in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Now Ahaz had a place to worship the true God, the place God had chosen, the temple in Jerusalem, and he should have known that this God was the true God. But instead of worshiping the true God, Ahaz worshiped the gods of Damascus. And what is worse, he made it impossible for his own people to worship in Jerusalem. For Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem, and in every single city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. It can hardly get any worse, can it? But yet, remember that Ahaz was from the family of David. To David had been given the promise that his dynasty would last forever and that his kingdom would never end. And so if you look at the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, you're going to find the name of Ahaz there, together with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Jehoshaphat, all of them faithful to the Lord. But now here's Ahaz here also. And we have not yet reached the depths of Ahaz's disobedience. For that we have to turn to the book of the prophet Isaiah, because it was when King Ahaz was king and threatened by the kingdoms of Israel and Syria that God sent the prophet Isaiah to him and told him not to be afraid of Syria or Israel. Even though these two nations had plotted against Ahaz and had even chosen a man to replace him, to put him on the throne instead of Ahaz. But Isaiah said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You belong to the family of David. God has given David the promise of an everlasting kingdom. Ahaz, your kingdom is going to last. Just a few years, and the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria will be no more. But the house of David will be established. And then Isaiah warned Ahaz, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. And then Isaiah told Ahaz that he should ask for a sign from God that these things would happen. And Ahaz refused to ask for a sign. He did not want anything to do with this God of Isaiah. And then Isaiah said to him in words that will be repeated over and over again in this coming Advent and Christmas season. He said to Ahaz, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now you students and teachers and staff of Emmanuel, you certainly know what the name Emmanuel means. God with us. And the sign that God gave to Ahaz through Isaiah is the sign of the virgin birth of the Messiah. The Son of David is going to come into the world. He's going to come into the world as the son of Mary, of a virgin. And he's going to be the king. He's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. So Ahaz, why are you concerned about these neighboring nations, Syria and Israel? No. You are from the house of David, and the house of David is going to continue, and the Messiah is going to come, born of a virgin in David's line. Now the worst thing that Ahaz did in his life was to despise God's promise of a Savior. Because all of his sins can be forgiven through this Savior. But despising the Savior, there's nothing left. Only in Jesus is there forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. Now in our land today, we have our own Ahazes. And we have the moral decline that such Ahazes encourage. But we should not be afraid either, because who is in charge? Emmanuel, God with us. He is reigning. He went to the cross, died for our sins. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. He's at the right hand of God. The house of David will not be brought down. So let us repent of our sins and turn to Jesus, our only Savior. We continue by singing hymn 357, stanzas 1, 2, and 4 in the Lutheran service book.